Welcome to Encore, brought to you each week by BoomersWork.com. I'm Costas Halavrezos. The Maritime Provinces are faster than the rest of Canada in one event. We lead the country in the rate at which our population is aging. Nova Scotia has the highest median age, the age at which half the population is older and the rest are younger. New Brunswick is a close second. In 2012, New Brunswick undertook a study by experts and community members to find out how to address this demographic shift. The report, entitled Living Healthy, Aging Well, listed concerns and challenges. Each challenge was paired with clear, concrete ideas on how to tackle it head on. To discuss the report's findings and what action has been taken on them so far, we've contacted Kaylin McCluskey. She served as Director of Policy to the former Federal Minister of State for Seniors and is currently a PhD student at UNB, focusing on issues related to aging and dementia. Welcome to Encore.
Thank you.
Now, I guess in a recent op-ed piece in the Daily Gleaner, you wrote that New Brunswick is Canada's canary in the coal mine when it comes to seniors, and the province is Canada's cautionary tale. How so?
Well, first, the canary in the coal mine expression is certainly not mine. It's an adage that's been applied by a lot of different partners, including the Canadian Medical Association, New Brunswick Medical Society, and a few other partners, notably in media. Now, basically what it's stipulating is that New Brunswick, because it's aging faster and quicker than anywhere else in Canada, it's kind of the province ahead of everyone else who can lead the way and see how the waters are with this population demographic change. Now, one of the things that I don't like about the canary in the coal mine analogy is that it implies that New Brunswick is doomed, that there is no way that we're making it out alive, when that's certainly not the case. While there are certainly a lot of challenges that New Brunswick's facing and thus are going to have to do it first and other provinces can watch in anticipation, there's certainly the occasion that New Brunswick can rise to this challenge and come out of it alive and well and not like that proverbial canary that doesn't make it.
So it does put some pressure on New Brunswick in a way, because if New Brunswick doesn't get it right, it bodes poorly for the rest of Canada.
Absolutely.
Now, can you outline some of the most notable parts of that 2012 report that still stand out for you?
Well, the first thing that really stood out was the tone of it. The panel really took caution to use language very specifically. They spoke of capabilities rather than dependency. They spoke of how New Brunswick's older adults are very much not only viable members of society, but active ones, engaged ones, who make a strong part of our cultural fabric. You can't talk about a community without talking about all of its parts, including older adults, including younger adults, and everybody in between, which is significant in this report as to some others, which I'm sure we'll touch upon later. The other is that they started with a description of the status quo that paints a portrait of New Brunswick's older adults as being very active individuals who aren't necessarily sitting at home doing nothing, but rather are in their communities. Many still work. Many are involved in volunteer activities, so on and so forth. So instead of talking about population demographic change and everything that's going to happen as a negative to the province, they started with the people, which was significant. And then they got into the policy recommendations. But even in that, it wasn't discreet. So here's what we're going to do economically. Here's what we will do socially, et cetera. It was, here's our social and cultural fabric. Here's the challenges that are trying to fray at that. And here's what we can do to mend it. And one of the things that really stood out was the fact that they spent time and attention on the continuum of care. So instead of just focusing on long-term care or we need more primary care physicians, they focused on the whole spectrum and what people would need and recognize that that's a very fluid process. And that to me was very, very significant.
And those needs will evolve as people age.
Absolutely. And it's evolving even with the boomers themselves. The baby boomers are not going to sit by and let people describe them as being dependent or frail or horribly decrepit. But rather, the baby boomers are saying, so what? I turned 65. Let's keep going.
So how has the New Brunswick government and Ottawa responded to those recommendations in that 2012 report?
So shortly after the 2012 report, the Allward government in New Brunswick launched the Home First Strategy, which was a series of policy proposals and recommendations, as well as a pocket of money that would go to addressing the fact that 97% of New Brunswick's older adults do live outside of a long-term care facility. So how can you ensure that those people can stay at home for as long as possible and provide them with the supports needed to do so? The Allward government, of course, was defeated in the provincial election in 2014 and was replaced by the Gallant government. And they've maintained some of those policies, of course. They've done their own changes. But they've been largely focusing on, okay, people want to stay at home. How can we facilitate that in the best way possible? And the Gallant government has also participated in the recent Seniors Roundtable hosted by the New Brunswick Medical Society, which I have through good authority that went through a lot of the challenges on the healthcare side and how to best tackle them.
Now, a lot of the challenges, though, you know, have been mentioned, brought up before. They've been around for a long time, and there is sometimes a tendency to not act on them quite as promptly as government should. I mean, are we running into this, that there were things perhaps even identified before the 2012 report that still aren't getting the kind of support and funding they need?
Absolutely. One of the things that you'll see pretty consistently lately is this this terminology of the silver tsunami. However, Susan Naismith, an academic, writes that it's no tsunami. We saw this coming. It's more comparable to a glacier that it's coming, and it's been moving slowly for years. The baby boomers have been aging since they were born, and we faced it wasn't population demographic change, but that change in demographics, we faced it when they went to school for the first time. As they left school and went into university, things have grown and changed with the baby boomers. To suggest that the challenges with aging are brand new is absolutely not the case. Internationally, we've had the Madrid International Plan of Acted on Aging, Plan of Action on Aging, since, I believe, 1982 with the Vienna Declaration. So this has been a long-term policy challenge that is really coming to a head, because in 2011, the baby boomers began to reach 65.
But it must be frustrating for you working in this area to hear phrases like the silver tsunami or the senior tsunami being thrown around in the media, because it makes a good headline.
Exactly. It's a terrible vernacular. Seniors, I like to use the term older adults, are not a challenge. They're not to be disparaged. They're not the source of all of the challenges we're facing publicly, but rather they're wonderful individuals and who actually contribute a fair amount to our societies if we take the time to look and listen.
You're listening to Encore, sponsored by BoomersWork.com. I'm Costas Halavrazos. If you're retired and looking for part-time employment, or if you're an employer looking for experienced men and women, BoomersWork.com can connect you. Just go to the homepage of BoomersWork.com. My guest on this week's edition of Encore is Kaylin McCluskey, a director of policy to the former Minister of State for Seniors, currently a PhD student at the University of New Brunswick. She focuses on the issues of aging and dementia. Kaylin, just to get back to that title of the 2012 report, Living Healthy, Aging Well, it is reflected throughout in a sense of optimism. Can you give us examples of more positives that counter people's worries about, say, providing health care or support for family members who have to tend to frail elderly family members?
Sure. So number one is the fact that they do mention, from a demographic point of view, that while everybody's focusing on the availability of long-term care and whether it's there or not, 97% of New Brunswick's older adults in 2011 were living at home, with some engagement of the formal care system inevitably throughout that time. They also wrote quite well about different community endeavors, so age-friendly communities, volunteering, all of those positive things that we tend to forget when we're focused on a crisis. So from a policy point of view, policy people, we like to react to things. We can't really do any, we can't do much when it's, okay, well, here's an idea and here's something great and wonderful. How do we implement it? The process is very reactionary, whereas this report understood that but brought those positive elements up into the reporting and then the later conclusions and policy support. The other is that they recognized the need for more leadership on these roles and recommended that there be an active aging secretariat, an aging adult secretariat, and a minister responsible for aging, for the aging agenda. And most positively throughout all of this, they don't ever speak of the seniors agenda or the 65 plus agenda, but rather use the term aging as all encompassing, recognizing that we each age from the moment we're born. And that aging is a normative and healthy experience, despite the fact that there is a multi-billion dollar industry designed to teach us and show us that it's not.
Now, just going to the area that that you're studying, and that is dementia, and let's say a certain percentage of a population will ultimately suffer from some form of dementia. But again, when you get a large demographic bulge, such as the baby boomers, that means there are going to be a lot more people with dementia and all the ramifications for both, you know, caregivers within the family, but also for the healthcare system. Are you seeing enough action on that particular challenge?
One of the major challenges is that on dementia and health policy writ large is that our system is, that is a provincial jurisdiction, and then there's a little bit of leadership from Health Canada. From the governments themselves, I know that there have been recent commitments with money so focused on research and providing more support. But having worked with folks at the Alzheimer's Society, notably the Alzheimer's Society of New Brunswick, I can tell you that it is not enough. They need more people. They need more more education and training and more support of the work that they do. I need to recognize that the challenge of Alzheimer's is, and other dementias, are all-encompassing, much like how the Premier's panel on aging focused on aging as an issue of economics, health, social, and community and culture. Alzheimer's is very much the same way, that it needs to have the social supports as well as the health supports. We also need the research to better understand what we're dealing with. So at this time, in this novice juncture of the action that's been taken, is it enough? Not yet. Could it be? Really depends on the leadership that we'll see from the provinces and the federal government in the near future.
Now, you found the positive tone of the New Brunswick report, including the title, Living Healthy, Aging Well, to be unique among similar reports prepared by other provinces. Are there any signs that some of the other provinces have been paying attention to what came out in that report on New Brunswick?
I believe so. Notably how in recent elections, aging issues writ large have become more and more prominent throughout the discourse of the electoral process. So before, it would be brought up as a means to get a vote from an older adult, but now people are talking about it. People are very concerned about what this means for how are they going to be able to care for their parents, and will care be available, and so on and so forth. So still very much largely health, but that conversation is definitely happening. And what's promising is that other jurisdictions are starting to focus more broadly. So before, in 2011 and 2012, and speaking with ministers responsible for these files or their staff or even just a general citizen in each province, it was perhaps one issue that would be brought up. So you would hear somebody talk about caregiving. You'd hear somebody else mention dementia. You'd hear somebody else say viability of the healthcare system. And they were discrete policy pockets across the country, and depending on who you talk to, that would depend on what came up. But now you're starting to hear people talk about things that are broader. So, okay, if my spouse, for instance, is diagnosed with Alzheimer's, how do I ensure that they get the social elements that they need? People will now know what's available in their community. So that conversation is definitely broadening. And I like to think that it is because of the leadership of Dr. McLaughlin and the Premier's panel in speaking so articulately and beautifully about aging in general and how it encompasses all of us.
Well, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
I've been speaking with Kaylin McCluskey, a director of policy to the former Minister of State for Seniors and currently a PhD student at the University of New Brunswick. She focuses on the issues of aging and dementia. You've been listening to Encore, sponsored by BoomersWork.com. If you're retired and looking for part-time employment, or if you're an employer looking for experienced men and women, BoomersWork.com can connect you. Just go to the homepage of BoomersWork.com. Each week at this time, BoomersWork.com brings you Encore. We'll introduce you to men and women exploring topics of special interest to the growing number of Canadians aged 50 and over. I'm Costas Halavrezos. Have a great day.